This is our day to shine. Yours and mine. We only get this day one time. If we're going to shine today, it'll have to be in our actual circumstances, in our real lives. But it's very tempting to think, well, it would be easy to shine if I'm living in a shiny day. So we might think about this category, the presence of suffering. And it will feel like, well, if I'm low on the suffering quotient, if I'm just having a little bit of suffering, then I'll be able to shine. It'll be fine. But if my level of suffering is quite high, then nobody can expect me to shine. It's going to be a bad day. But what I want to tell you is there is another factor. There is another dimension in life besides just suffering that actually makes all the difference, that actually transforms not just our lives, not just myself and my mind, but my suffering into another kind of reality. It's a kind of a alchemy, kind of a spiritual alchemy that produces gold, through which God produces gold if I will let him. And that brings us to this wonderful passage in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and I'm particularly leaning on a commentary by my old teacher, Jerry Hawthorne, for this. Chapter 1, verse 27. Paul starts with these wonderful words, whatever happens. Now, again, we don't usually start that. I start with, well, if good things happen, it'll be a good day. If bad things happen, it'll be a bad day. Know what Paul is about to say. Jerry points out in the verses that we're going to read, 27 through 30 of the first chapter, there's just one verse. We're just one verb. We're about to get to it. And it governs the whole thing. And Paul starts by saying, he's been talking about, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. I hope I'll be able to come to you. I think I will, but I don't know for sure. Lots of difficulty going on. People trying to cause me problem. People preaching out of envy and strife. Whatever happens, here's what I want you to do. Here is who I want you to be. Here is how I want you to shine. Whatever happens, now this is up to me today. Nobody can do this for me. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, what is the gospel of Christ? It is the gospel that Jesus preached, of course, is that now life in the kingdom of God, God is really here, and he's with us, and he loves us, and he'll work in and through us, and he's very patient. And so I'm invited now to immerse my tiny little life into that great project, into that great reality, into my mighty friend. And you are too, whatever happens. Then Paul goes on, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together. Paul uses real active imagery in this passage, and here he uses a word that's used for athletic competition, like athletes together on a team, striving together with a great spirit, great unity. Striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened or intimidated. He uses a word there that was used to describe real shy horses that would startle quite easily. No, 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 no. Whatever's going on in your life, you don't be intimidated in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them. I won't go into it here, but just say, here's how Jerry translates this next statement. The fact that you are steadfast in your purpose, even though you face opposition, is a sign to them that you're going to be destroyed, that you're in real trouble. You stay committed to Jesus, you're in deep water. But it's a sign to you that you'll be saved. Nope, God's at work in me, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but what do you think is coming next? Paul uses the term here of gracious generosity. God has granted, God has given to you to believe in him as a gift of faith. What else has God graciously, generously given to you and to me? But also to suffer for him. And Jerry goes on in his translation, this is the meaning of the struggle you are in. This is the meaning. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer. since you are going through the same struggle. He uses the word here, agon. We get our word agony. The same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So, I want to read for you the entire first paragraph of a book, one of the bestsellers in the last 50 years by Scott Peck, called The Road Less Traveled. Life is difficult. That's the whole first paragraph, those three words. Life is difficult. One phrase for you and me to take in the day, whatever happens. I want to conduct myself worthy of the gospel of Jesus, live in the kingdom today, whatever happens. That little phrase. And then if you're ambitious and you want a second phrase, here it is. Life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it is accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. Most do not fully see the truth that life is difficult. Instead, they moan more or less incessantly, noisily or subtly, about the enormity of their problems, their burdens, their difficulties, as if life generally were easy, as if life should be easy. Anybody? A little ouch here yet? They voice their belief, noisily or subtly, that their difficulties represent a unique kind of affliction that should not be, and that has been somehow specially visited upon them, or else upon their families, their tribes, their class, their nation, their race, their species, and not upon others. I know about this moaning because I have done my share. Life is a series of problems. Do we want to moan about them or solve them? And sometimes, honestly, I'd rather moan about them. Now, in the Old Testament, this was called grumbling. And the Bible has quite a lot of quite severe things to say about people who fall into a pattern of grumbling. And when I fall into this, when I'm moaning, I become miserable to be with. Groaning is quite contagious. I infect other people with a kind of negative of spirit. I rob people and myself of the potential of being resilient and to being filled with faith and having a basic sense of cheerfulness or joy in life. Life is difficulty. It's difficult. Can I accept this? Now, Paul is quite interesting. Paul accepted his suffering with a surrendered spirit, but then he was very active together with God in seeking to solve his problems. How can I preach the gospel? How can I strengthen the churches? How can I build up my brothers and sisters? So one place to start today would be, if there's a problem in your life and it's fixable, God's calling you to fix it. And not just to say, well, God's calling me to suffer. If I haven't been looking at my finances, or I'm not feeling great, but I've not gone to the doctor and do things that health would appropriately require, or I'm suffering in a relational area with somebody else, but I haven't gone to them and had the conversation. Don't just sit there and suffer for Jesus' sake. Actually, work on the problem. That's part of what we're called to do. We learn by solving problems, by actively engaging in problems. Teachers teach children by confronting them with problems. Peck goes on to say, it is in the whole process of meeting and solving problems that life has its meaning. And that's the other factor. That's the magic word. It's an ironic thing in our day that life is, in many ways, easier, less difficult than ever. Suffering is going down. Life expectancy is twice as long as what it was 200 years ago in 1825. Literacy rates are up. Amazing opportunities for health. Amazing opportunities for education, technology. And so suffering is actually going down, but I think meaning is going down. And that's the great problem. So let me go back to the overhead cam. I can have a high or a low sense of suffering. And then when it comes to meaning, my sense of meaning in life can be high or it can be low. And so we have Andy Crouch's favorite thing, a 2x2 quadrant. If I have a high sense of meaning and a high experience of suffering, I'll come back to that box. If I have a high experience of suffering, but I'm low on meaning, that's despair. Then life does not seem to be worthwhile. If I have not too much suffering, but also not too much meaning, life is pretty easy for me. then that's often hedonism, and I'm just living to have pleasure or to keep my suffering low. If I have a high sense of meaning, but not much suffering, that's delight. Who doesn't want to sign up for that? And then, if I have a high sense of meaning and purpose, I know that God has me here because he wants to use me, but I'm also experiencing suffering. We might call that nobility. And of course, above all, that is our friend Jesus. And that's Paul sitting in a prison. Most of the great ones in the Bible, Moses or Esther, Job, this was their box. These are the people that we sing songs about and tell stories about and write books about. And what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, and maybe to you and maybe to me, if there's some suffering in our lives, probably not like Job's, probably not like Jesus, probably not like Paul's, but maybe some, even in just little ways, it has been granted to you. See, life is not about escaping suffering. And to accept it, not to be passive with it, not to seek to resolve, face head on, take a look at my problems, relieve human pain and so on, but to accept the fact there's going to be pain in my life and that as I offer it to God and patiently seek God's help to live in my little life. I was praying with my friend Rex a while ago, and he received news in his life. It's very, very difficult to have to face up to him. It was so interesting when we were praying together and I asked him, how can I pray for you? He didn't say, let me not suffer, make the suffering go away. What he said to me, I will never forget this, is pray that I can drink the cup. Pray that I can drink the cup. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means instead of just resisting and wishing it would go away and becoming difficult or filled with self-pity or resistant in my spirit or just captured by a sense of despair, anger, or bitterness. No, God, would you help me go through whatever it is that I have to go through? Would you go through it with me? Could I offer it to you, God, so that somehow it can have meaning, so that somehow it might find its way to the cross where the suffering of the one that we love and followed, the crucified one, had the meaning to redeem the world, and I might have a little tiny part to play in that one. And in my own life, when I'm having a difficult conversation, which I do sometimes, just to think through, okay, as I'm walking through this, don't take stuff personally. First, do no harm. You know, it can keep me busy all day long, just that one, do no harm, in the midst of pain or difficulty or suffering and how I might want to lash out. So there it is, friends, for you and me. Whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever happens, good or bad, up or down, high or low suffering, there is another dimension to my life and your life. If you love God, if you'll invite Jesus to be a part of it, and that is meaning, you have a purpose, that you are able to face whatever trials come your way and do it with a spirit of surrender and goodness and love and patience and faith in the midst of confusion and being honest, then it's possible for you and me too to conduct ourselves worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our day to shine.
Hey, I'm Tim. Thanks for tuning in today at Become New. We hope that these teachings help you to grow a little bit each day in Christ. I love what John shared today, that life is hard, and kind of the sooner we can accept that, then the more able we are to just deal with and accept reality and move forward as God would want us to. And that was a really good reminder for me, because I can live in a world of shoulds. My life should be easier. My kids should behave different. I should be better. And I was just reminded today through the teaching that when I live in that world of shoulds, I'm actually just not accepting the fact that life is hard. Life isn't perfect. People aren't perfect. And that's okay. That's where God's grace comes in and allows me to be a different kind of person in that challenging life, whatever those circumstances may be, varying from, you know, light trouble to really difficult things. So I'd love to hear what your takeaway is. You can put it in the comments or send it to us. You can text it or email it to us. All of our contact info is in the notes below. Also, we want you to know that if you're going through something really difficult, we want to pray for you. We want to spend actual minutes and time and energy praying out loud for you. Our team meets every day to do that. Whenever we get a request, we pray over it as a team, but then someone from our team will actually type you back a prayer that you can take with you into your day. So I hope if you're going through something difficult, if you're facing the life is hard right now, that you'll let us walk alongside you in prayer. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward to next time.